Hi, I'm Daryl Felsberg.
I'm Brandon Davidson. We're both professional comics, and we travel the country telling jokes.
We don't always get along or even see eye to eye on things, but we've got two things in common.
We're funny, and we love barbecue.
Damn right. Each episode, we meet up with a comedy friend or a celebrity in some of the best barbecue dives in the world, and we record it live.
Food and funny? It doesn't get any better than that.
This is Comedy Barbecue. Hey, everybody. Daryl Felsberg here. Comedy Barbecue. Brandon Davidson is on the controls, or whatever, if you will. Listen, we just wanted to preface this particular episode because it's a little different. Normally, we're in a barbecue restaurant someplace, but this one happens to be just a little bit special. Brandon and I were on the road coming through going through Arizona, New Mexico, and on our way home, we were stopping off in El Paso to see our good friend Dustin Ibarra. You know Dustin from the TV show The Goldbergs. He's a recurring character on Gotham. He's been in the movies We Bought a Zoo, another of others. He had his own pilot that was approved and then got yanked, and some just a great, great comic. So he was performing in El Paso at Bart Reed's comic strip, and we were coming through town the last night, the Sunday night, and we decided that we would get together for barbecue. However, when we called Dustin and said, "Hey, man, we'll meet you here," he said, "Hey, dude, you know what? I'm staying at Anthony Perez's house, who's another good friend of ours, a comic from Dallas who happened to move to El Paso." He said, "I'm at Anthony's, and he's barbecuing. And Brandon and I, we can't turn down Mexican barbecue." So, sure, we went there. We did it in Anthony Perez's garage, Mark Maron style. We were there with Dustin, his girlfriend. Anthony was there, his lovely wife, Christine. Their kids. It was a really a great time. A little different episode. We had wonderful Mexican barbecue. It was kind of a carne asada type thing. Very spicy. Very, very good. Dustin and Anthony both were cooking when we showed up, and had a great afternoon with them. Great stories. Great time. Great comedy. Great laughs. Right here for you on Comedy Barbecue. Enjoy Dustin Ibarra.
Hey guys, wanted to take a quick second and say thank you for listening to the Comedy Barbecue podcast, and I wanted to tell you about Stanley's Famous Pit Barbecue and all their unbelievable sauces. You can go to their website at stanleysfamous.com and check them all out. I want to talk to you about two of those. They've got a classic barbecue sauce. It's made from J.D. Stanley's original handwritten recipe. It's really the perfect blend of just a tangy sauce that's got a sweet kick to it. You can put it on anything. You can dip and drench whatever you want to throw in your grill. And I don't know if you're into grill mopping at all. Some people are, but that's a really cool thing to do. Don't use like a regular mop. Like, go get one of those 12-inch mops at the grocery store, at your barbecue place, and you can mop on this classic barbecue sauce. You can put it on barbecue burgers, wings, chicken. It doesn't matter. But if you are going to put something on your chicken, you need to get some of this clucker sauce. If you've ever been to Stanley's Famous, you know that Texas Monthly says they have the best barbecue sandwich in all of Texas, which means all of the world. They got a sandwich called the Mother Clucker. They have this sauce called the Clucker Sauce. It is a small batch sauce that you can put on chicken. You can leave it up to – I really leave it up to you guys on what you want to put it on. But if you mix it with their chicken spike seasoning, it's – killer. This is a vinegar-based sauce. You can put it on grilled chicken, baked chicken, smoke your chicken. You can deep fry it, however you want to do it. This is the exact same sauce they use on their famous Mother Clucker sandwich. You guys got to get it. You can go to stanleysfamous.com, get that Clucker sauce, that chicken spike, get some of that classic barbecue. Man, they even got pickles that you can order by the jar, just like you would get in Stanley's from their website. Check it out. All right, back to the podcast.
Dustin, thank you for being with us. We normally go kind of like a couple topics, and then we go from there. So do you have a topic, Brandon?
Yeah, so I was just thinking about, like, we've all had maybe like brushes with celebrities or things like that, but I wanted to talk about a time when maybe you've had a minor brush with the law at some point in your life.
Minor or major?
Up to you, wherever you want to take it.
Or however far you want to make it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. You go first.
I have to go first. Okay.
Yeah.
So 1992.
Oh, Jesus. You know
the
year.
So about 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I was arrested in a Walmart for stealing a pair of weightlifting gloves and a CNC Music Factory CD.
Is this a true story?
It's absolutely a true story. Me and a group of friends had a shoplifting ring And we would take things and then take them to other Walmarts and get a cash trade on them.
Did that work?
Absolutely worked. It worked for a long time. And so, but then I decided I wanted something for myself, and I just couldn't resist those sweet whale lips and gloves.
That's how it always goes. If someone gets selfish in every crew, you know,
ruins it.
It has to go further, you know, get a little bit more.
I had the taste for it, and yeah. So I got put in a holding cell with a guy who was just shitting in the middle of the floor when I came in. I was terrified.
He was shitting in the middle of the floor? Like,
there's a toilet right by him, and he had his hand on it to support his self. And he was just letting it go, and they're like, here's where you are. I was like, great.
Does no one come in to be like, hey,
you can't shit. No, this is like,
cops,
this
like,
is Independence County, Arkansas, so they didn't. It was actually probably encouraged to shit on the floor.
I'm not sure. Man.
He may have been a cop. He may have just turned around and speak to me, but it was a good time.
and it's
kept me on the straight and narrow since then.
Are your children familiar with the story?
They're not.
All right, let's keep that in mind. It's on record now.
Yeah.
So it might be one of those good life lessons. Though, so
yeah.
Listen, kids, this is what you need to do. All right, Dustin, have you had a brush with the law?
Yeah, a few times, but cops are pretty nice to me, man. They usually let me go. Because always, like, for, like, one time I was, like, outside Fort Worth, Hyenas, I did a show. And me and, it's so funny, me and Anthony went to smoke, and this cop came up and was like, what are you guys doing? I'm like, nothing. But then he showed up, and like five other cops showed up. Next thing you know, there's like 12 cops just surrounding us, and they frisk us, and they're like, do you have any weed? And like, I take the weed out of my pocket, and they're like, what are you going to do with it? And I'm like, are you guys like, are you guys going
to
kill us or something? Yeah. Like, and he's like, just throw it away. And I'm like, okay. So I threw it on the ground, and they just let us go, man.
Wow.
It was weird, though. While I was being frisked, all the people from the show were coming out, and they saw me, and I was like, hey, what's up? You guys want my t-shirt? I'll be right back. I'll be right there.
They let you go.
Yeah. And then one time in, with Anthony once again.
There's a common thread.
Yeah. At the checkpoint in El Paso, they just randomly pulled us over because we obviously look like a couple of potheads.
Right, so yeah.
They pulled us over and they were like, the dog came out and like looked in the car and the dog immediately went to the pipe.
Oh.
And it was like so quick. I couldn't believe it. I was pretty impressed. Like, damn, that's so,
it's
like,
a good dog.
Yeah, man. Like, geez, they trained him well. So they pulled out the pipe and I'm like, oh, that sucks. And the cop's like, hey, you guys know what this is? And I was like, what do you think?
Yeah.
So he's like, you guys get out of here. First he said, do you guys have any more weed in the car? And we're like, no. And he's like, well, you guys get out of here. I'm like, okay. But we did have more weed. And so then like a mile down, we pulled over and rolled the joint. Like, yeah.
Damn it.
Celebration. Yeah. One time I was drinking and I hit this guy. And no, I'm just kidding.
I was like, you know, car or fist.
Yeah.
I was waiting for you to tell me you got away with that too.
The cops were just like, did you kill him?
Yeah, I was driving and he flew up and
I don't get it. I don't fucking understand.
He has a very, very kind face. I can see it when I look in his eyes.
Thanks.
And the cops are like, this dude's not crazy. We're just going to let him walk.
Are you going to make out with him? What are you doing?
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's what cops do. That's how I got out.
That's how you got out. That's how you got out.
Dude, make out with me. That'd be the weirdest thing. I would rather suck. I think I'd rather suck a cop's dick than, like, have to make. Like,
slow,
I want you to make out
with
me. Like, oh, man.
Yeah,
let's like,
get to it. Yeah.
Can I just, like, blow you or something? Like, it's like, no, give me a kiss. Like,
pipe for pipe. Yeah.
Yeah. Dang it.
All right, so I had. That sucks, man. No, it sucks. It's not stuck. It doesn't suck that you were free. It does suck that you were free. Because, I mean, every time I get pulled over for something similar to that, I get snatched up. I've been technically... All right, well, let's just talk about two, all right? I was on the road doing something, got a ticket, didn't pay it, got two tickets, didn't pay them. My brother got married in Corpus, I guess it was in 2000, and went to his wedding. I was the best man. Afterwards, my wife and I, my tuxedo, we're heading back to the hotel room at the end of the night. Great night. I get pulled over in Corpus, which is where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And the cop pulls me over and says, you've got a warrant for your arrest. I was like, what's it for? He goes, I don't know. So he puts me in the car, hauls me down to the jail. This is in Nueces County in Corpus. I'm in a tuxedo at 3 in the morning on a Saturday. So it's full. The drunk tank's full. Everybody's there. I'm in a tuxedo in the lineup. They process me. They print me the whole nine yards. They put me in a cell, and then they're going to eventually let me go. Well, my grandmother worked there for like 30 years till she retired, and everybody knew my grandmother. So when they sat down to process me, they pulled my file out, and they said, Felsberg. He said, are you grandma's boy? And I said, yeah, that's
grandma's
my
boy.
They all call her grandma. And yeah. I said, yeah, that's my Ruth. That's my grandmother. And he said, well, let's take a – and, of course, they were doing the, what do you think she would think if she knew you were here? I was like, well, she'd be pissed, so let's not tell her.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going through my file. So it looks like in 1976 you got a DWI. I was like, bro, I was three.
Yeah.
I didn't get
a DWI. What are you talking about?
He goes, well, then 79 you got a public intox and disorderly conduct for fighting. And I was like, no.
I'm 6 years old, yeah.
And I was like, I'm six, man. I said, let me see. He goes, well, that's not you. It was my dad's file. My dad had already died. You know, when I was 15, so he was like, it was my dad's file. He had a
Was all that new to you? Like,
yeah, I didn't know. I mean, he was an asshole. He liked to party, drink, and fight, and that kind of stuff, you know. So that was the first time at my brother's wedding, my dad, so that we'd never forget it.
So there's a mugshot of you floating around somewhere in a tuxedo.
We can't find it. I had an attorney help me.
Yeah.
And you had an attorney help me?
Yeah, I wanted it for my album.
Right. Because
now I've got two mugshots, right? So the second one, I got an inspection sticker. And this happened in Paris, Texas. I got an inspection sticker that was out. Cop pulls me over, gives me a ticket, says, just take care of it. So I go and I take care of the inspection sticker, but I don't go take care of the ticket. I just forget about it. It's a non-moving violation, right? It should be no big deal.
Mm.
Oh, they put a failure to appear on it.
Yeah.
So one day... I'm going to get my son to go to a camp out or something. I'm home for the week. And I get pulled over for going through a red light, and I pull into Brahms because I figured we're going to hurry up and get out. And I went in at lunchtime, so it's packed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden...
That Brahms midday rush, yeah.
He comes back and says, I need to step out of the car. I'm like, this is like a year or two ago. I'm like, are you shitting me? This cop doesn't even recognize me. He doesn't know who I am. Pulls me out, puts the cuffs on me. And I shit you not, right? He says, Mr. Felsberg, listen, you're a little big for my car. we're calling in another vehicle. I was like, what, do you get a truck? You get a flatbed? You haul my fat ass off? They come up in a Tahoe. They put me in the back seat of the Tahoe. The cop...
No seats in it.
What?
Stuffing you in and buttered. No, so they put me in the Tahoe, and I'm sitting there. The other cop gets in, and he's driving me out of the station. He says, he knew who I was. Mr. Felsberg, I'm sorry. He goes, but it's already called in. So we have to go through it, but don't worry, we're going to get you in and out. Just, we'll take care of it and be on our way. All right, cool. So they've already radioed it in. And this is a town of 25,000 people. They all know who the comedian is. They all know who I am. So I get there, and they're all waiting for me, right? And when I get to the station, they're all, like, doing the slow clap. You know, they're doing that. And I walk in, and I mock them because they had a quadruple homicide that hasn't been solved yet.
Yeah, it's a big deal, yeah.
It's a big deal. In a town of 25,000, we can't find out who shot four people execution style in a house. But you caught the inspection sticker bandit.
Yeah.
You got me, right? So they process me,
yeah.
And they're going to get me out in a couple hours. And on the report, if you look at it, the ethnicity, here's the option. You're either Hispanic or non-Hispanic. So that's your option.
Oh, those are the only two.
Are you Mexican,
man,
or not? No, I'm not. All right, we know who this one is, you know. And then they want to talk about your physical build. What you look like, you know, your hair, your eye color. They'll put your weight, and then the build is husky.
Yeah. That's pretty nice, though.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you think prison, they'd be more, or like jail, they'd be more
prison,
like,
yeah, let's say jail, yeah, not prison, yeah.
Barrel chested.
I don't want to make it sound like a sexy male bear porn, but yeah. But I was like, husky, that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, that's a government adjective.
He's a husky non-Mexican. That's what he is.
Yeah
husky.
Well, we'll find him. We gotta find him in East Texas. Yeah. That'll be hard to find.
Did they put you with other husky non-Mexicans? Yeah.
They put me in the
trying to make you guys breed.
but it worked that way. I don't know if you know how that works. Those are good stories. Wait, that's a good topic. Do you got another topic? What was the other one?
Other thing. I was just thinking about how, you know, we're driving back from Tucson to East Texas. You know, you came over from L.A. to El Paso.
Yeah.
When you're on the road, do you have a routine? Like, if you're in a new city, are there things that you like to do? Is there, like, meals that you always try to go for?
Yeah, here's what I do. I like to plan how I'm going to do the week. And I think, okay, I'm going to work out this day. I'm going to go hiking this day. I'm going to go see the Space Needle this day. And then I get shit-faced the first night.
Yeah,
and don't do any of that.
Just run down.
Yeah. And then I, then each other night, I get semi-shit-faced. And then I wake up, you know, and think about working out. But I don't. But sometimes I'll even get in the gear, and I'll just go back to bed.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing, you know? And yeah, then I'll take a nap. Depending on the night before, I might sleep to show time. That's always crazy. Jack off a lot. That's definitely a big thing. My girlfriend's not there. Sorry, man.
Yeah, or was she is there?
Yeah, it's my road ritual. Yeah,
it's a good one.
Much, make expectations and then don't.
Follow through.
Yeah, yeah.
I just shower before each show. That's the thing.
Oh, now see, the road for me is like, nah, bro.
Grimy.
This ain't the city, bro. This ain't L.A. Let your balls stink. You're not gonna run into the head of HBO.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm washing the day off. It's a whole new thing. I guess that's it. I don't know.
It's like a Silkwood shower for you?
I don't know. A cleanse. I don't know. Uh-huh. Get the grime off. He drank all of your margarita.
I did.
What an asshole.
And then here's what I did. Like, I was like, I did that whole we're doing a podcast thing, so I just pointed at the glass. And
yeah. What a gentleman. He treated you like an assistant. You see that?
Yeah.
How dare you? Well, that's all right. You get two, one for you, and enjoy it. Then, all right. No, thank you, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, we just had a homemade carne asada tacos.
It was awesome.
Did you get any of the rice?
I didn't.
Why not?
I need to go back.
Oh, you don't like vegetables.
But rice isn't a vegetable. Listen.
It can be.
Yeah, cauliflower rice, I guess.
Well, fuck that.
I don't think that's a real thing.
I hate cauliflower everything, man.
Cauliflower's in everything now.
I tried to make cauliflower mashed potatoes and I was trying to lose weight. Dude, worst thing, because it looks like mashed potatoes, but then you put it in your mouth and it's like, ugh, it's not mashed potatoes.
Why are you trying to lose weight?
Because I want to live? Like, is that like
a
big deal?
I had some friends today on Facebook that were sharing a recipe with this dude who's trying to go on like this diet to drop some pounds. And they're posting like spaghetti squash stuff, like faux potatoes, and yes, like,
faux potatoes.
Like you just gotta like, I don't know, man. That shit never works for me.
No.
For me, I'm just like, I'll lose weight if I like just don't eat.
Yeah.
Because I know if I'm gonna eat, I'm not gonna eat stupid like substitute like cauliflower. Oh, instead of my normal nachos, I'll just have some cauliflower nachos.
Some cauliflower nachos. Yeah.
Cauliflower. I could totally see that. Yeah, cauliflower nachos.
That's an LA thing.
I used to date this chick that was paleo, vegan, everything.
Right.
Shit, I don't even know why she was. It was so odd. Our relationship, I was like, man, we don't
change. Did it change the way you ate when you were with her?
No, it changed her. Dude, she put on pounds and stuff, man. I was like, yeah.
Well, no, the reason why she liked you is because you've got that caveman look.
I do, right? Paleo's very caveman.
That's absolutely right.
I gotta say, I do. I don't know. Women love me. It's weird, bro.
Women love me. It's weird.
I don't know
what it is. Without getting into interview form, all right, you've done some TV stuff. The listeners are going to want to hear. So, what shows have you been on?
I was on The Goldbergs and
Goldbergs,
Californication.
Wendy McClellan.
Yeah, Wendy McClellan.
And Sean Giacomo. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Wendy. Cool. And Wendy, she's really cool.
She's really cool.
I did a pilot with her. It was funny, man. It was like me and John Leguizamo and Christopher Lloyd. So great. We did like two episodes.
I remember that. Was she on that?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, me and her, and it was a blast, man. But they didn't pick it up. But ABC liked her, you know. So
wasn't that your like first turn at television?
Yes, that was my first, and that was magical, man. I loved it.
I remember that, dude.
I remember everything I had learned, like just like high school theater. That's what it felt like. It was like, okay, now we're back in theater because it's not single cam. Cause you know it's in front of multi-cam in front of a bunch of people. You got a live studio audience. It's fun, man. Single cam, I like single cams the way they turn out more. But I would love to work on a multi-cam.
Sure.
Just the thrill. Just cause that's what we like. You know, you just get that audience and you're like, I'm gonna start being funny between takes.
Right. Yeah. It's like doing stand-up. That's fun. Yeah. What about another current show? What's the new one you're on?
Gotham?
Gotham, I was on that, man.
What were you doing on Gotham? I haven't seen
played a inmate at Arkham Asylum that escaped, and I was Robert Greenwood, this cannibal.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, that was the first time I played, like, a bad guy.
Really?
I guess, yeah. It was weird, because in the audition, there was a bunch of other people there, and I was like, oh, they look like psychos.
They were legit.
Yeah, but then I got it, so I was like, all right, cool.
Well, but remember, go back to that same, the same face you're talking about, that Brandon clearly...
So kind.
And everything.
Yeah.
It does have that, but it's the brow, you know that, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the hair and the eyes. Yeah, you can be crazy. Sure, absolutely. And then, what on the big screen? What have you done movie-wise?
We Bought a Zoo was my first, like, big... That was
oh, that's right, yeah.
Big thing.
I remember.
Yeah.
Butler turned me on to that. Butler's Randy Butler, which is they all are going to know who he is.
Yeah, I took Randy to the premiere.
Really?
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, him, my brother.
How did you give me that relationship, you and Randy?
Oh, well, I started stand-up when I was, like, 16 in, like, high school, and I didn't know... You don't really know how the world works, like comedy or like agents. You don't know anything, really. So I would just do like these. I had my guitar and I would do funny songs like at Starbucks. Which now I look back, if YouTube were around back then, I would have been one of those fucking YouTube guys.
That was
Yeah, because I didn't have that. You know how when you do comedy, then you learn what's like, oh, I can't do that. But whenever you don't know comedy, you just have no filter, so you just do whatever. And you put it online. And that's how like these stupid fuckers are making it now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So I was doing stand-up, and I met Gary Hood. He was the first dude I met, and I took his comedy class. Gary was, like, super drunk and a dick, and I had to drive him to every gig.
Yeah.
Gary was funny, though. I remember one gig I did, because he knew that I was going to be pretty funny, and he was like, we did this gig with this other comic, and he turned to the other comic. He was all drunk. He was like, one phone call, I could destroy your career. And then he turns to me, he was like, yours would be a little harder, but I could.
That's awesome.
It's so great, man.
Such a, yeah.
But then so that's how I met Randy. I worked at Hyenas Arlington. I was a telemarketer and did that whole shebang. Yeah. I was just like, I tell anyone who starts comedy, it's like, dude, if you're thinking about a comedy, don't even fucking do it. You gotta be like, you gotta fucking drown in that shit. You gotta eat, breathe. I was obsessed. I'm not as obsessed as I used to be, and I'm upset with myself for that, but there's no way to recreate that first, like, when you're just driving, it's like, and also I was like a young kid too, so it was like, that's all I had, it was like a certain, like, I want to get a laugh tonight, I want to get a fucking laugh, I want them to laugh at me, I don't want to do bad, you know, so it's really just a sick obsession, yeah.
Were you kind of a nerd type kid, for lack of better words?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I was definitely a nerd kid. I came out of my shell like the last year, I would say, just because I was doing stand up by then, and I was like, it gives you confidence as a kid whenever you're hanging out with like in a
adults.
Bar.
Yeah, you get feedback.
So then you go back to school and you're like, you know what? I'm gonna start being cool.
I'm pretty cooler than you guys.
You
kind of grow up a little bit. So Randy already had the Arlington room and the Fort Worth room in Easter. What year did you start doing comedy?
2004. I would say, like, officially, probably when I graduated, 2004. That's when I hit it every night.
So you started after I did. I started about 2002, mm-hmm. 2001. I was living in Amarillo at the time. And Gary Hood had come to Amarillo and done a show along with Butch Lord.
That's an awesome tour.
Yeah, right there. That's a package. That's your dreams come true tour. And so I went back with Aaron Baker to Hyenas, and I think that's where I got my first paid gig. Was there at that Fort Worth room, the old one on Houston.
Oh, I love that room, man. Right? That was the first room. That room, I believe, man, that room wouldn't have, like, been there, I would not have had the confidence, that stupid confidence I had, because you could kill in that room, man.
Sure.
And
no matter how
just like,
bad you were.
Yeah, you just learned how to work audiences, just because it's like, they're good, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna destroy, like, I know, like, okay, they're, you know, just those little things, like, oh, don't talk during this, don't worry about this.
Right, yeah. You learn so much from, and that's where when you talk to younger comics, I said, get in the club, stay in the club, but don't succumb to the back of the room. You know what I mean by that?
Definitely. And that happens, it's weird. It's weird, man, because that happens in a place like Dallas, anywhere on the road that's not LA or New York, you don't have that luxury of playing to the back of the room. Because some people play to the back of the room in LA and New York, but there's industry there.
Mm-hmm,
and there
sure.
might be some guy from Comedy Central who likes your style. And he was like, you know what? I like this guy's style. He's not doing that well, but he's making the comics laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And places like Dallas, if you make the comics laugh, that's not going to help you at all.
It digs a deeper hole.
Dude, I was never a killer of comedians, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
You just didn't quite, you didn't hang out with that group. I mean, you had your own clique, and we all have our own cliques that you kind of start up and work.
My clique, though, was like, our clique, we wanted to kill. Like, we knew, we used to say this thing, turbo comedy, which was basically like whenever you just like, you know, whenever you just kill it, like punch, just set up punch.
Right?
Yeah.
So, okay, we kind of run in this, you and I kind of run in the same circles at either different times or maybe even at parallel times, I don't know, but when you talk about those people and those cliques, who are some of those people?
Me, Anthony, Nick, Billy
Nick, Nick Gera.
Mark Agee. But although, when I... Me, Nick, and Anthony were in our own little group. Just because James... Well, I guess Anthony. Anthony was pretty cool. So, like, everyone liked him. You know? So, like, Paul liked him. Mark liked him. Everyone just... Anthony, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we had a... It was a cool little group of dudes. Tone came by later. I'd been doing it, like, I think, like, 3 years when Tone started. So I was all like, comedy.
Yeah, he was kind of new to the scene,
right?
And started comedy, and then all of a sudden, boom, he snatched up.
Mm-hmm.
How did you make the leap from there to there? I mean, how did you get out of? What was the exact moment or thing that happened that you're at the different? You're at another level.
Well, it's pretty magical. This is a good story, man. Okay, I was in. I gotta give you a little backstory on this too. When I first started, I auditioned for Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
And maybe like 3 or 4 years in. I bombed hardcore. I bombed bad. And I'd never been on TV or anything. But I was really serious about stand-up. And then one day, I'm sitting there with Nick, and we're working Comedy Defensive Driving. We worked in the office. And he gets a phone call, and he's like, "Are you serious?" He's like, "Dustin, you're not going to want to hear this." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Last Comic Standing was on Good Morning America this morning," and I'm like, "What happened?" He's like, he's like, "Oh, fucking dog." He's like, "They used you, but it wasn't good, man." And they, dude, I remember seeing it, and it was like, it was Bill Bellamy, and he was like, saying, it's him, Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer was like, "You had a lot of funny comics. Were there any people that like bombed?" And he was like, "Oh, let me play the clip. I was the first one, the very first one, man. And you see me?" They just showed a punchline. I said, "Croatia Jackson, I went to high school with her."
That's funny.
Exactly. I was like, "What the hell?" So they show that, and then they show what Alonzo Bowden shake his head and shit, you know? And I was like, that was the most devastating, because that's like, that went out, not just on Last Comic, that was Good Morning America. Everyone knew I bombed. Everyone who I have ever said at that point that, "Hey, I'm going to do comedy," everyone in high school thought I was a loser at this point, because like, we're on a reality show getting made fun of. And so that was like that moment where I was like, I wanted to quit, dude. I wanted to be like, "Fuck this game. This sucks. I hate this. I just embarrassed myself on live television." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying that I want to be a comic. And then I keep doing it. And then like, dude, I want to say a year later, I see, maybe 2 years, I don't know. I did the show with Bill Bellamy at the Improv. The guest spot, and he came up to me afterwards and he's like, "Dude, you were so funny, man." He's like, "I'm Bill, nice to meet you." He's like, and I didn't tell him like, "Motherfucker, I hate you."
Yeah.
But, he was like, "Man,
we've met before.
Do you know what Stand Up for Diversity is? This NBC thing?" I'm like, "I don't know." He's like, "You gotta go, man. You gotta go." I'm like, "I think they already had it in Texas." He's like, "It's in New York next week, the finals. I'll get you a spot. Go out." And I'm like, "Are you serious?" He's like, "Yeah." So then it's like, at this point in my life, too, I graduated. It might have been a year or two after high school. Yeah, I was probably like 20, because I remember... I might have been 21, because I remember I was drinking in New York. But yeah, so yeah, I had to have been 21. So I was like... So with my aunt, I was a locksmith. Life sucked. My aunt was going to make me get a real job. And she was like telling me how this comedy thing wasn't working out. And she owned like 12 cats, and they were all pissing on my things. And I remember, this was just magical, man. I worked with this, I somehow knew this dude that worked for Southwest Airlines who sold buddy passes for $75. And I had no money. I think I maybe had, I had no fucking money, dude.
Yeah.
I somehow got $150 and bought a round trip buddy pass, you know? So I pack like nothing. I pack like 3 shirts and a hoodie. I've never been at, like, I've been to Oklahoma. That was as furthest from Texas that I've ever been.
Really?
Oklahoma.
Wow. Yeah.
And you grew up in Bedford?
Yeah, Bedford. And San Antonio in East Texas. I had a weird childhood.
Yeah.
My mom had a lot of stepdads. I go to New York and I it was so stupid. It was such a kid move because I didn't have anywhere to stay. I've never been to New York. I knew nothing. I had no money. But I was opening for Jimmy Walker. So I remember at the layover, it was in Boston. And I called Jimmy. And I was like, dude, I'm heading to New York. Do you know anyone that I could, like, maybe stay with? And he's like, oh, E-Man, let me see what I can do.
Yeah.
And he called his ex-girlfriend, this old lady. And she was like, she used to do comedy back in the day. And she was like, okay, tell him to hit me up. And I talked to her, and she was this old Jewish lady, and her nephew met me. And I remember I flew in from, like, this Islip airport in Long Island.
Yeah.
You take a train, and it's just, like, you take this subway. And I remember that first moment of, like, getting out of that stop. And, like, once you get out of the subway, you're, like, in the city, and you look up, and I've never seen these buildings before, these huge, like, it's like, right. It's like Spider-Man. It was like I was in Spider-Man, wow. Dude. And I remember just looking around, like, oh, my God, this is crazy. This is New York City. This is it, man. And I did the next day. You know, I spent the night at their house, and I did stand up for diversity. And here's the thing. Bill Bellamy, he didn't get me a spot on the evening show. I still had to audition. So I was like, oh, my God, I could have come up here for nothing. Did the audition during the day. I was in front of a lot of New York comics. The only one I can really remember that I know now still is Esther Koo. She was in that group. And I went up, and no one laughed at me. And I was like, this is over. This sucks. This is done, you know? And then I get that call. It's like, hey, you made it to the tonight. You made it to tonight's show at Caroline's. You should come by and do the set. And then I went and I did it. And I remember I went on like third, and the comics were doing like, dude. And I went up and I fucking killed.
Yeah.
I'm talking one of those, just like everything on the line. That was my moment right there.
Yeah.
Everything comes from that one set. Everything I've ever got has come from that set. Because after that, I met an agent and manager. MTV was there. They came and started talking to me. And I was about to leave home the next day. And I got a call from this agent. I was like, dude. He's like, you can't go back to Texas. Huh. I'm like, I don't have any shirts or anything. He's like, I'll get you some shirts, man. Just, you have to stay in New York. he sent me on an audition, and the first one I went in on, I booked. It was for a commercial, and that's what I was able to stay in New York. That lady let me stay there, rent-free practically, and I did a few MTV pilots, you know, and then that was it. Yeah, got Gotham, and that was a cool thing. And then I went to L.A., and yeah, we bought a zoo, but it all came from that, man, the Caroline set.
Isn't that something, though? It's just one thing. You don't know what could happen. It's something from something negative like that, you know, that mm-hmm. you talk about that deal on the, you know,
Good Morning America. Yeah.
You know, I was awakened one morning by texts and phone calls and Facebook messages saying, hey, man, you're in the New York Times. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, I was in the Sunday New York Times. Mm. I'm thinking, this is good, I think. You know, what is it? And I went and found the article. There was a book called The Stand-Up Code.
The Humor Code.
That was written by these professors who determined an algorithm to find the funniest towns in the United States. And they listed the top 50 funniest towns in the United States. The top 50. Not all of them, but the top 50. The 50th was Fort Worth, Texas. And they happened to go through in the article and say the last place was Fort Worth, Texas. The least funniest town in America is Fort Worth, Texas. And the only club there is Hyenas Comedy Club. And headlining this week is Daryl Felsberg, whose credits tout him being removed from a Home Shopping Network show and a brief stint on XM Comedy. And whatever, they just threw me under the bus.
I would love to just find that article and, you know, just one day just be like, oh, you guys are fucking dicks. Like,
I know.
Why would you do this?
Why?
Yeah. Man?
But, and then Butler's calling me. He's like, did you read this? I was like, yeah, but I said, read it, man. I said, it doesn't mean that you're the worst city in the United States. They're saying it's the 50th, number one. And number two, the algorithm is insane. They're mm-hmm. they're trying to determine by how many funny websites people go to in Fort
right.
Worth, how many comedy
web
clubs,
searches, all
how many people
things,
come
yeah.
out of Fort Worth that are successful.
So stupid.
It was insane. I had people calling me Texas Monthly, every newspaper. I had people from the East Coast on newspapers calling me wanting to... I'm like, dude, I'm not the worst comic in America. I'm not sure why you're doing this.
Yeah.
But it went on and on and on. I think you and I were looking the other day on Google search, and it's finally about six pages back in, so maybe it's kind of buried a little bit.
But that's so interesting, though. I mean, because both of those stories, if you're not careful, that could have been the end of the story, right? You could have stopped stand-up after...
Oh, yeah. I wanted to, man. Because it's like, what do you... I really don't know why I continued, seriously. Because that was like...
Because you liked it.
I guess so. Yeah. I had no friends, probably. Yeah,
your friends were comedy. Yeah. Who were your friends? Anthony, and he was still doing it. And Ponce.
To be honest, I had no friends in high school either, bro. I was like, because I was raised Jehovah's Witness, so I was very like, I couldn't like hang out with people. So when I started doing comedy, those were like my first friends.
Yeah.
Wow, from one extreme to another.
Okay, so I talked to some other people who come out of that JW tradition. Like, as a kid, did you have to preach ever?
Yeah, I went door to door.
Okay, so, but even like in the church setting, did you ever do any of that? Because I talked to people, other comics who come out of that background, and they've talked about how it actually sort of, in a way, they felt comfortable in front of people already.
Yeah, I was already into that, though, too, because just my family is very, like, they were all musicians, and, like, my grandma and grandpa were, my grandma was, like, Bob Wills' bassman, so we were all, performing is just, like, kind of in the
second
blood.
Nature.
But the whole, I'm glad I was raised Jehovah's Witness, because it taught me things. It's like, if anything, it made me, more durable, thick-skinned, and
resilient.
When everyone in the class gets a birthday and everyone gets... I don't know. Maybe that's what made me a comic, too, is just rage inside of me of just looking at people get cake and Halloween cake.
Well, I think the resilience. I mean, because think about it. You've done a bunch of insane jobs, you know? And weird stuff. We were talking about that earlier. Was security work for fireworks stands at night, whatever.
Right.
And I sold vacuum cleaners door-to-door for years. I mean, it's just... Everybody's, you know, done something that there's a reason why you stick through it, because there's a threshold that most people bail at certain points. And the ones that don't are either they really, really believe in themselves or they're really, really stupid, one of the two.
Yeah, I've seen people who should have bailed a long time
ago. But the self-awareness isn't there.
Yeah. They're the dumb ones. Yeah, it's self-awareness and they don't realize how bad they are.
But then again, too, it's like, I look at it now, I used to be so fucking jaded, man. I used to be really... I was one of those guys who like, I want to make it. I would tell myself every day, I want to fucking make it. But it's like, it's more than that. Life is more than that. That was my life because that's all that I had in life. All I had was knowing this and making it. I want to be on TV.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But there's like, fucking...
So what do you want to do that and there's the next thing?
There's just so much more. I still want to do that, man. But I'm not willing to like... I'm not willing to do what I probably before would be willing to do, you know? Like, I'm like...
Suck a cop's dick.
Yeah, you know? Mm-hmm. I might just do that. That's a funny story. But like, I don't know. Just, like, it's not as... My drive before is very crazy, obsessive. Now it's very, like, I see what I'm doing here. I see how the game works. I see how you gotta work, but I also see how they're not gonna quit making TV shows. They're not gonna quit making comedy albums. The door's always gonna be open.
Yeah.
There's someone who's always fucked up worse than you that still made it.
Right.
You know, as long as you work hard, I feel like anyone who works hard, you're gonna get your shot if you work hard. Mm-hmm. You know, and you might not be Louis C.K. You might not get it. I've had TV shows. I've had like, another thing. I had a fucking TV show. I was like one of the stars, 7 episodes. Never came out. I literally thought I made it. I thought, I was like, okay, fucking done. This is it, man. Yeah. That fell through. And now it's like, but now I'm like, if I would have been freaked out about that, because that was another thing. It was like Last Comic. It was like, oh man, I'm new. But they're not going to quit making things, dude. You got to live life, because you can fucking die before any of this shit pops off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I could get hit by a car, and I'm just like, I don't want to be fucking obsessed with making it while I'm fucking dying. You know, I was never on this. You know, it's like.
Oh, that's interesting. So you went from early in comedy being so obsessed for comedy. Now that obsession's almost shifted, right? Like, it's new. It's about living every day, right?
Yeah, kind of. And that's weird, too, because, like, I grew up in this thing. So that was all I knew. So now it's like I'm learning other things of, like, life. And, like, you know, my buddy's got kids. And I see how his kids are. I'm like, whoa, that's, like, that could happen.
Sure.
I didn't know my dad or anything growing up. So everything was all weird. But it's like, I could have a life one day that's, you know,
that's not good. That's
not just... Because before it was all like, fucking, I'll sleep in a car. I'll do this shit. You know?
See, and we talk about that because we've got friends and they're mutual amongst us. And I don't want to talk about them on the air. But that are living that life and they're missing so much because they're becoming jaded. And they get more negative and more negative and more negative.
And you can do that. Good. Just don't become jaded. You know? And I was getting jaded. And now I'm really like, I used to, when I saw people's success, I'd be like, fuck, man, what am I doing wrong?
We were just talking about that earlier.
Yeah, and now it's like, Dude, that's good. That dude's just like me. It's like me making it. I would want someone to be happy. I would want, you know.
How, okay, you know, and again, I didn't want this. We never want these to be interview style, but.
This is great stuff.
Yeah, we're already there, so. All right, so let's step back for a minute. You went you had a couple years now of some, we'll call it success, right? Television, whatever,
sure.
Right? Meanwhile, like you said, Anthony, you know, back here, 9 to 5 or that kind of thing, family, you know, but you guys are this close. Nick was hustling and hustling and hustling, and we all just saw Nick, who's already been on the podcast, get a break Friday night.
Fallon, yeah.
Yeah. How does that make you feel? I mean, and how do you think that? How do you think Nick felt during all your success?
You know, everything I ever did, dude, I took Nick on. My first pilot, I took Nick on. I took him backstage, the Leguizamo thing. My first everything, Nick was there pretty much. You know, he was my best friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love him, man. I'm really happy for him. And like I said, like, whenever I see people doing well, like, it's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pumped. We don't get to talk as much anymore because I guess he's really busy and stuff. But,
sure.
You know, it's cool.
Well, but that happens. I get where this is going. There's, we do that where, you know, friends that you kind of work with and what have you, when you finally get to that level where you're both headlining or doing other things, your paths don't cross as much. Like, I, you know, I used to feature for Ben Creed off and on, you know, 8-9 years ago, and I haven't seen him in 6 or 7. And I think yesterday was the first time I've seen him in a long time. And, you know, Jason Russell is an old friend, and he and I used to work together for a long time, and don't see him anymore unless I happen to book him for work. You know, that's just kind of the the nature of the animal, so.
Yeah, this business does a lot of crazy things to people, too, man. Like, the thing is just, I don't know. I don't know. You just don't see people as much.
You don't see him as much. It's not like it was. It's not like hanging out at the back office.
And that's one of those, yes, and that's one of those things, right. I realized, too. You can't get mad. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, when Anthony got a family, a wife, and kids.
Right.
We were all living together in L.A., and Anthony came out and did that. And that felt like, I was like, fuck, man. You're fucking leaving me, bro. Like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm, like, one of those guys I love. I don't know if it's because I didn't know my dad. I don't know if it's because what, but I need people.
You didn't have them in high school. You just said that.
Yeah, I didn't have any friends, yeah. So these friends are very important to me, man. And it was weird, man. They all just kind of, everyone just kind of separated at the same time. And, you know, it kind of sucked. But, I don't know. That's why I could have been really pissed. But you just got to realize life is more than stand-up and stuff. You know what I'm saying? People have their own goals. And you don't know what goals those are.
Right.
Your friends, right? Your friends. And you're friends, and you love each other, but some people want different things. You know what I'm saying? And you can't be selfish and not let them have those things.
Oh, yeah, you can't get in the way. No, of course not.
And I grew up, and I think I grew up very selfish, too, because when I entered, like I said, these were like I came from high school, so it was like, this is life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you just become attached to people and stuff. And whenever there was, whenever you don't see those people anymore, you just get bummed, you know? You just kind of, and then that's where it's growing up. That's where you realize it's like people are doing their own things. You got to make, you know, your own man now, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on this without getting too analytical? You know, Brandon and I were talking the other day. I keep a distance from a lot of people because for this reason right there. Because then you become too close. And then what happens when you separate, even though you don't want to be angry, you still kind of are. It's like there's still some resentment. There's still something there for some reason. So I don't know if the adage is of it's better to love and lost than never loved at all, or whatever the case might be, or however that goes. But does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I believe I've made all my best friends. I don't think I'm going to make any more friends who hit the same type of feelings that your first best friends have. You know? And I was really lucky, too, because my best, like, it was really cool. We were all able to start, and everything was pretty funny, and we were just able to move to L.A., moved to New York and just do a lot of really fun things that a lot of people don't get to do with their best friends. And I got to do that. And I'm happy that I got to do that with my best friends, you know? And, you know, you'll see each other again, too. This business, it doesn't stop.
Right.
No, the paths cross.
Yeah.
Either, you know, on the road somewhere, or, you know, a comedy club or you know, a audition somewhere, or somebody's garage in Horizon City, you know,
yeah,
Texas.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
Some weird thing. So good. Well, I think we're about there, right?
Right.
I think. All mm-hmm. right, Dustin. You have any? We'll plug your stuff.
All right. Hey, guys. As promised, you can check out Dustin Ibarra at DustinIbarra.com. You can catch him this weekend, May 19th through the 21st, in Corpus Christi, Texas, at Chuckles Comedy Club. You can also follow him on Twitter at Dustin_Ibarra. If you're looking for Daryl, you can go to DarylFelsberg.com. You can also follow him on Twitter. And me, Brandon Davidson, you can follow me on Twitter at Brandon Davidson. You can also check me out at the East Texas Comedy Festival the end of June. That's at EastTexasComedyFestival.com. All right, let's wrap up the show.
Need to do that. So again, Dustin, thank you. Christy, thank you for being so quiet over there. Damn thing, like we asked you to. So I again, I'm Daryl, and
I'm Brandon.
We'll see you guys next time.